Thank you for being here tonight. If you'll please take your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 27. Last Wednesday night, we began looking at the end of the book of Acts. As I mentioned, I won't have the opportunity to go through the entire book of Acts. So we're going to, on Sunday mornings, look at some important chapters. And on Wednesday nights, we're going to look at Paul's final journey, his final missionary journey to Rome. Last Wednesday night, we looked at the miraculous doors that the Lord opened for Paul. And tonight we're continuing on in Acts chapter 27. Acts 27, verse 1, the Bible says, "And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus's band. And entering into a ship of Adramyttium. Thank you, Brother Huey. We launched, meaning to sail, by the coast of Asia." Now notice what it says next. "One Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with," what's the next word? "Us." So we're going to see tonight that the Apostle Paul was not alone in his last journey, his soul-winning journey, his missionary journey to Rome. And the Lord is going to encourage us in that regard. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful insights from your word. As we look closely at these verses, as we understand all that is taking place, Lord, in the life of the Apostle Paul at this time, Lord, we pray that we would learn and be exhorted and encouraged, Lord, as we hear from you. Lord, may you teach us, may your Holy Spirit apply your word personally to our lives, and may you strengthen, Lord, Coastline Baptist Church and our faith as a result. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. Well, last week we saw that God opened some miraculous doors, didn't he? God had answered the Apostle Paul's long-awaited prayer. The Apostle Paul wanted to go to Rome. He wanted to witness to the lost in Rome. He wanted to witness to governors and rulers, knowing that that's what the Lord had called him to do. He wanted to encourage the brethren in Rome. And finally, the Apostle Paul's prayer requests were being answered, but not in the way that he thought they would be, because he wasn't going from Corinth or Athens to Rome, and he was closer at certain times during his previous missionary journeys. No, he had to go all the way back to Jerusalem, be almost killed by an angry mob outside the temple, and then even by the Romans themselves, who wanted to severely slay him and punish him. And by God's grace, he was now on a prison ship to Rome. The Romans, even they didn't know that they were fulfilling God's will. So we saw and we were encouraged how God miraculously opens doors beyond what we can see. We simply need to have faith. Amen. Well, tonight we're looking at the companions that Paul had on the journey. And we are encouraged tonight to see that Paul was not alone on his journey to Rome. The Lord sent along two friends to help him. So notice the faithful friends that the Lord gave the Apostle Paul. One of them is mentioned here in verse number 2 by the name Aristarchus. Aristarchus. One Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. So here we know that Aristarchus was a brother in Christ from Macedonia. From that region, there was a city called Thessalonica, and that's where he was from. Now, he's mentioned earlier in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 19 and verse 29. And in Acts chapter 19, Paul describes Aristarchus, interestingly, as a companion in travel. A companion in travel. That means that Aristarchus had journeyed with the Apostle Paul before. So he was a brother in Christ who, on Paul's third missionary journey, at least from Ephesus, had this brother Aristarchus traveling with him. No doubt, as we have read, or you've read in the book of Acts before, no doubt he shared in some of the Apostle Paul's adventures No doubt he shared in some of the Apostle Paul's persecution. In fact, you might remember Aristarchus's name being mentioned in Acts 19 when there was that uproar concerning Diana of the Ephesians. Do you remember how, if my memory serves me correctly, there was a demon-possessed girl following the Apostle Paul around, telling everyone who could hear that what they were proclaiming was true. She was in fact demon-possessed, and she was saying, these are the servants of the Most High God who point the way to salvation. Now, there's another lesson there. Even demon-possessed people can proclaim the gospel. That's a scary thought. But, and another lesson, Paul allowed her to follow him many days. The grace and the patience the Apostle Paul had. But his patience ran out, and he by God's power, of course, told the demon to get out of her, and suddenly this young lady was now free from the demon possession. And she was being used as a fortune teller. Wow, there's another lesson. She was being used as a fortune teller to tell the future because she was possessed of a demon. So there's lots in there. We don't have time to look at it. But basically, the men who are making a profit off this young lady possessed by a demon suddenly lost their business overnight. She could no longer tell the future. She could no longer be used and abused to make money from this wicked practice. And suddenly, they'd lost their business. They were in uproar. They were furious. And they knew, as Paul continued to preach the gospel, it was against all the idols, especially one named Diana, a perverse, wicked idol in Ephesus that they believed was the crown jewel of the Ephesians. And yes, many came to the temple of the goddess Diana to worship there. And so what happened? Well, Aristarchus was grabbed, not the Apostle Paul, but Aristarchus and another brother in Christ was grabbed and hauled before the magistrate. And it's only because of not insane, but sane thinking of the town clerk who appeased the people that they were let go. But Aristarchus, he knew what it meant to be persecuted. He knew, that's right, if you were mates with Paul, you knew what it meant to be persecuted. But notice that none of these things moved Aristarchus, who was not a prisoner. Paul was, but nothing moved Aristarchus in what he'd experienced or what he would experience to go along with Paul. To go with him as a mate, as we would say. Because what did Jerusalem hold for Paul? Bonds and afflictions. Aristarchus went along. And he knew he could have faced death as well as Paul there as well. But he stuck with Paul, a faithful friend. Now notice also something is mentioned here, interestingly, in verse 2. That actually in verse 1 it says, "And when it determined that we should sail into Italy." Now Paul wasn't writing the book of Acts, neither was Aristarchus. Who do we believe was the author of the book of Acts? The writer, actually, author is God. The writer is Luke. Sorry. Luke, that's right. That's whom we believe is the writer of the book of Acts. And so we know that Luke went along with Paul because he recorded the events. And he said, we, Aristarchus, being with us in verse 2. And Luke also joined the Apostle Paul on his journey. So here's an encouraging truth. Paul wasn't alone. Paul wasn't alone. God gave Paul some companions on the journey, on the voyage to Rome. Now, we don't know exactly how it happened, but again, the Lord worked it out supernaturally that these two men could come on the boat. This was a prison boat. There were soldiers. There were prisoners. And these two went along with the Apostle Paul. Turn with me to, keep your finger there in Acts chapter 27. Turn with me to Colossians, the book of Colossians chapter 4 and verse 10. Have a look in Colossians, after the book of Philippians, Colossians chapter 4, verse number 10. Now, who does Paul describe Aristarchus as? Some of you may already be there. my fellow prisoner. Isn't that interesting? Aristarchus was described here as my fellow prisoner. And he was a prisoner with Paul, not because he pleaded to be brought before Caesar, but because he chose to. Wow. Amen. What a wonderful testimony. And how thankful the Apostle Paul must have been that he had two faithful friends that gave up their freedom and risked their lives by going along with him so that they could be an encouragement to him. Now, the Lord allowed all this to happen. Why? Because he wants us, I believe, to learn that it's important to have faithful Christian friends. Amen? To have faithful Christian friends. The Bible teaches us, and we see it here in the beginning of the Apostle Paul's journey, and we'll see it again in a moment, that God never meant for us to travel the Christian journey alone. He never meant for us to be alone. If you've ever been to the beach before and you've seen a hermit crab, how many of you have ever seen a hermit crab before in its shell? Now, God doesn't intend us, never wanted us to be hermit crab Christians. Why? Because hermit crab Christians tend to be a bit crabby. And they're not that nice to be around. Why? Because they don't want to spend time with anyone. As soon as you approach them, they pull back in their shell. And they just want to be by themselves, alone, me, myself, and I. And what does that result in? Well, crabby Christians. You know, and God doesn't want us to be like a hermit crab. Now, not all of us have personalities that are outgoing. Some of us are shy, or some of us are more withheld, and that's okay too. But the Bible says we need to be careful in the Christian life to realize that God puts people in our lives for us to grow together with. Friendships, good, godly Christian friends that are necessary for the journey ahead to encourage us in our faith. Now, here were two that God gave Paul. And my question to you this evening is, who has God given you? Who has God given you? The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 15, rejoice with them that rejoice, that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Why do we need Christian brothers and sisters in Christ? To rejoice and to weep with. To encourage us when we weep, to rejoice with us when we rejoice. For fellowship, for encouragement, to face the trials of life together. Now, God doesn't expect us to look for someone in the world to have to be friends with. Now, God wants us to be friendly to those who are lost and those Christians who are carnal. But our best friends, those whom we share our life with, ought to be godly Christian friends, ought to be those that love the Lord. And here's the danger. Don't make friends with the wrong people. That will lead you down the wrong track. Amen. We need some Aristarchuses. Amen. That are willing to hazard their life for the gospel. We need some Lukes that are willing to make some sacrifices. And wow, here's another lesson, isn't there right here, that the best friends are friends that you serve God with. Amen. And if you want to be a friend, well, start serving the Lord. Ministry friends, serving the Lord with, witnessing with, going out door knocking with, setting up church with, amen? Serving the Lord in the ministry of Coastline Baptist Church with, visiting lost friends and family with. That's what we're talking about when it comes to friends along the journey. And right here at Coastline Baptist Church is the place to develop those friendships. Amos chapter 3 and verse 3 says, here's some wisdom, can two walk together except they be agreed? It's very simple, isn't it? How can you walk together with someone if you don't agree with them? And if they're going in a different direction, the only way that you can walk with them is if you agree with them. And suddenly you're walking in the wrong direction. Isn't that right, young people? You might say, young people, well, I'm just going to make friends with all the rat bags at school and make sure they're my best friends. And hopefully that they'll become like me. Well, that's not true. Evil communications corrupt good manners. In order for you to be with them, you're going to have to bend to what they want you to do. To go to their parties. To talk like them. To dress like them. To lie like them. Young people, beware of who you make friends with. You might say, well, there's not a lot of friends to be with. That's all right. Paul only needed two.
Right.
Amen? Amen. Paul only needed two. I dare say there are more than two people at Coastline Baptist Church. So the Lord gave Paul some friends. If you struggle with making friends, Proverbs gives us some wisdom, 18 verse 24. A man that hath friends must first show himself friendly. There's wisdom. If you want to be, if you want friends, first you need to take the first step. Be a friend. Show yourself friendly to someone else. Ask them how they are. Involve yourself in their life. Don't expect someone to approach you first. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And those are the kind of friends that God will put in our lives, and those are the kind of friends we need as well. Let me encourage you to be a faithful friend. A faithful friend. Well, notice some encouraging fellowship, and let's see what the book of Acts chapter 27 tells us. So you know that I'm not making this up. This the subject of fellowship. And sometimes we miss the details in the verses. Notice verse number 3. And the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his, what's the next word?
Friends
to refresh himself. So here we see that they arrived at the port of Sidon, 110 kilometers north of Caesarea, and miraculously, again, the Lord working miraculously, the Roman centurion allowed Paul freedom to spend time with the believers there. He said, go ahead. There were some believers there, and he went unto his friends, what does it say? To refresh himself. To refresh himself. He enjoyed some refreshing fellowship. Wow. How the Lord blesses us. Even when we are going through a trial. Even when we are facing the unknown. Can you see how God highlights for us very early on in this chapter? The importance of fellowship. The importance of being a refreshment to someone. And receiving refreshment from good godly friends. Brethren in the Lord. And fellowship. If fellowship was important to the Apostle Paul on a prison ship to Rome, well, it must be important for you and I. Amen? I dare say the Apostle Paul knew what it meant to be alone. I dare say he knew what it meant to be abandoned by even some Christians. And he knew what it meant to go it alone, but the Lord still provided fellowship because he needed Christian friends. He needed companions along the journey. And we need to be sure to work on this area as well, of being a friend to another. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 25, of course, the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. How can we make friends if we're not in church? How can we be friendly if we're not in church? So we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves. Why? Because if we are faithful to church, then those friendships will build over time. As we assemble for fellowship times, as we assemble for witnessing opportunities and outreach time and everything that is involved in the ministry, friendships grow, do they not? Amen. I dare say the ladies are becoming closer through the door knocking ministry. Why? Just by spending more time together, fellowshipping together, praying together, reaching out together. Amen. And so we see that as we serve together and we spend time together, those relationships will grow. These relationships will grow. And God said, I'm going to stop you here at Sidon. You're going to have some more fellowship. And it's going to refresh you. It's going to encourage you. And what a refreshment it is when someone asks, how are you? And what can I pray for you this week? Is there something that I can pray for? Or can you pray for me for this specific need? And being a prayer partner with someone. This is all part of the Christian life, being a friend. So let me encourage you to show yourself friendly, brethren, to one another. Amen. As we face the road ahead, the road of faith for Coastline Baptist Church in these coming months. Amen. I trust that the church will grow closer together. As the Lord leads us on, as he leads someone else here, remember, God is not leaving. Amen. I trust that you won't either. You'd rather strengthen those bonds of fellowship, strengthen those bonds of faith, and continue to grow and develop those relationships that have become precious. Let me encourage you to seek out someone who might need some encouragement on Sunday as we gather together in the Lord's house. Well, the Lord knew that a storm was coming for the Apostle Paul. And he knew he needed some fellowship. He needed some brethren to encourage him. So don't be a hermit crab Christian. Amen? Don't be a hermit crab Christian. If you're hiding in your shell, let me encourage you to come out. Come out. Trust God. And enjoy the times of fellowship. And seek to, teenagers especially, make friends with those in the church. Amen? Heading in the right direction. Agree with them. Grow in the right direction. Be friends with people in the right direction. That may mean you only have just a few, just two close friends, young people. Better than having two than 1,000 on Facebook who don't care about you. They don't know you. All they know is the photo up there, and that's it. And then they fill you up with all their junk and nonsense. Get off that junk. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
And enjoy God's plan for your life and fellowship. That was God's plan for the Apostle Paul. Amen.